Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the pilot episode of Suspense Radio. I'm your host, John Robb, and I'm joined with my co-host, Matt McElreath. We have a great show for you today. We are joined by Star Raina and Terry Ann Armstrong, two great authors that will discuss their current projects, along with a collaboration that has rarely been seen in the book world.
And then also, later in the show, we're going to get into a little suspense smackdown as we pit two literary titans, Jane Patterson's Alex Cross and Lee Child's Jack Reacher. And John and I will have a little contest to see who can convince everyone who is better. So get ready for 60 minutes of suspense radio, and it starts now.
I'll tell you what, Matt, I know that it's only July, but there's nothing like the song September to just hear in the afternoon. So let's start this off by doing a little book review, kind of like our pick of the week. So, Matt, what do you got for us?
Well, my pick this week is a Brad Thor book called Foreign Influence. We're actually going to have an interview with Brad in one of our upcoming issues in Suspense Magazine, and if you are a fan of the spy thriller genre, this book is definitely for you, as it is pretty exciting. It's kind of a follow-up to a main character that is easy to – we could probably put him up with Reacher and Patterson, but it's definitely something I recommend for everybody out there.
So, yeah, we're going to have Brad in our November issue of Suspense Magazine, which features political thrillers and spy espionage books. So we're going to be lucky to have him on. We've had Vince Flynn and a couple other great political writers, but Brad is definitely one. I myself actually have a trifecta today because I just couldn't quite get one, so I'm going to get three of them here. I have The Bishop, which was just released by Stephen James. This is the fourth book in the Patrick Bowers thriller series. And I'll tell you that Stephen James is one of those underrated authors that people have to go out and read because his books are very fast-paced, great character development with always a villain in this thing that is just going to scare the heck out of you. My second one is The Last Lie by Stephen White. Stephen White is another great author, New York Times bestselling author. This book just came out. We rated this in the magazine as a 5-star. So you definitely want to check out The Last Lie by Stephen White. And then another one, it's an international best-selling author, Juan Gomez Jurado. He wrote The Moses Expedition, and it's funny because Brad Thor is one of the reviewers on here that says it's a true masterpiece and a brilliant thriller, sharp, suspenseful, and engrossing. Now, the one thing that I wanted to kind of talk about, and Matt and I have talked about many a times, is the ebook phenomenon that's kind of going on right now, and if it's going to last and how it's going to go, we kind of see this as the new wave of the future, which is why Suspense Magazine started Suspense Publishing to help out authors that can't get that traditional book deal and can publish right here to Amazon, Amazon Kindle, Sony e-reader, Borders, Barnes & Noble, and get their book read right away. A couple authors like Boyd Morris and Vince Flynn started this. This is their path in order to get traditional publishing. So we kind of feel that this way to go. Matt, have you, you know, I don't know how many ebooks you might have read or looked at, but it's just growing like by leaps and bounds right now.
Well, I was
Kindle
just
going
to say that it's a much more affordable path for the reader. People are so addicted to books, can spend, you know, a lot of money buying these hardbacks, so a lot of people can't wait for the paperback, and ebooks are less expensive, and you're going to find have a lot more of those indie writers, as they're called, kind of the diamonds in the rough that people always kind of want to be the first to say they've heard about or discovered, and the ebooks are a great way to do that.
Yeah, I mean, not only is it, it's cheap to, kind of put out there because you don't have any printing costs, but you also have a great way for to read, readers internationally really fast because, you can use the power of the internet. You don't have this print version that you're mailing out to every place, and people don't have to walk into their bookstores and kind of grab something or look all over for it. And you can search, with the website and the internet and everything else that's going on. It's just a great way to kind of, get yourself out there. And I know that our two authors today put their books up on ebook first because they were in that same realm of, not being able to find traditional publishers, because what we've seen is just, everybody's kind of cutting back on, the how many authors they're going to have in their stable and, what exactly they're going to, do. And it takes, about a year, you'd say, wouldn't you, Matt, to just kind of get your print out there anyway, once they've even accepted you?
Well, I think the other problem is a lot of people like to want to self-publish their books, and they don't realize how much they come out of pocket to market on their own. They've got to do this all on their own. It's hard. The ebook is instant. The other advantage are things like changing you could change chapter 4 if you wanted to. You could change your cover, all sorts of things that make it now instant info the way our world is today. Everyone wants it now in their hands, and the ebook is definitely the way to go from that standpoint.
Right. I mean, just in Japan alone, 50% of all books sold in Japan are in digital publishing. So when you're looking at a country that's so technologically advanced, I'm, speech impediment here. So you're looking at, is that going to be the wave of the future coming over here to the United States? Now, you still have a lot of people that will say, oh, well, I got to have the printed book in hand. And that's always going to be around. But when you have the younger generation, I think, coming up, and, we were used to the Atari with the joystick and the one button, and, we had no computers kind of going. It was the Apple, and you had to program your own stuff in there. Everything was, books and magazines, newspapers. But now with computers and listening to anything you want to, anytime, anywhere, I mean, just look at, our radio show. We were never able to do this, 5-6 years ago. Now, with the technology, it's just kind of amazing on how, all that stuff has changed. And I think it's for the better. I think it helps authors, and I think it helps publishers.
Well, no, the other thing is it helps authors because, as an author, you still want the big publishing houses to pick you up. But this is a way to get your name out there. This is a part of establishing yourself, getting your feet wet, and having a resume, so to speak. If you've got three ebooks that are out there, then you're becoming a little more, I won't say prolific, but you're on your way to establishing yourself and your creativity for people to get a feel for who you really are and how you can write.
Right. And I remind people, too, this is live, so you can kind of come on if you're listening. We have a chat up if you want to ask any questions. You can call in at 347-426-3764 if you want to get on on the air and chime in about anything or ask any of our authors any questions. We can do that too. Going back to all of what we kind of been talking about, I mean, traditional publishing is not going to go away. I mean, and that's a good thing, because I don't think it should, because they've helped out so many people, and that's just the way it is. But the other good thing about ebook publishing is the marketing aspect, because what a lot of authors don't realize is you still have to market your book, no matter if you are traditional published, with a traditional publisher or not. You're going to get publicity, but you're not going to get the marketing, like going out on your own. And Matt, you visited, the Grove here in Los Angeles where we're at, and it was Chris Farnsworth, and we found you know, this was all bankrolled by him.
Yeah, I was lucky to have a few glasses of wine on his dime. But
that's always the best time, isn't it? I'm not a wine drinker, but if someone else is paying, it's always the best.
Excuse me. I thought that it was his publisher or his publicist who were picking up the dime and realized that, no, that he was the one, in fact, who was paying for his whole tour.
Yeah, I mean, David Morrell, inventor of, you know, Rambo, who Sylvester Stallone, you know, made popular in the movies, he told me that he spent about $5,000 in a book tour that he had to do on his own in 1995 just to be able to go out and do it. So, you know, it was even back then in those kind of times, and it's going to be more prolific now because there's so many more authors and so much few shelf space out there that I really think ebook publishing is going to be a great invention that's going to come out, which I think why suspense publishing is, it's more along the line, the book will be published out there, but it's going to be the marketing part of it that is the big draw. It is fee-based because there is a lot of things that we do, and we hope that you go ahead and, you know, research all the other self-publishers because we do it all and a little bit more. We just don't have a print copy, and sometimes that can be a blessing. And I know that the two callers on here did like the on-demand self-publishing previous to this book, and they got some stories, you know, to tell on that one. So it should definitely be interesting.
Something on the book tour is definitely for ebook authors or people who are starting with ebooks. It's something that's not as hard as it sounds to go down your local Barnes & Noble and set up a time with them to establish a book signing for your ebook. That's a great way to market your book at very little cost. And of course, we can help with that at Suspense Publishing, but it's a great tool at a low cost, almost no cost, to hit the bookstores in your area depending on how big of a city you live in.
Right, absolutely. I mean, it's just local is one of the best ways to go. Our interview with Vince Flynn, he had mentioned that too, where he just started out in Minneapolis, just started selling his books. All of a sudden, Simon & Schuster gives him a call and says, okay, we want this one and we want four more, so go to it. So it just all of a sudden happens, and he was just selling them right in his own town there of Minneapolis. So wherever you're at, you'll be able to you know, find a bookstore, find someone who will help you out because they do like local people. The other thing, you know, let's mention our exciting announcement about Suspense Magazine. You want to do it? You want me to do it? What do you want to do?
Yeah, go for it.
It's been a while. We started here since 2008. We were published 15 issues electronically. The number one question we always get is, when's the print version coming? And so talking about ebook publishing and print version, we are now going to print the magazine. It is going to be available for everyone, which it is now on our website. You can find it by going to suspensemagazine.com, clicking on Order the Magazine. There's subscriptions for sale, your single copy issues for sale. And now you can have that right in your hand. And, you know, that's what we're going to do. It's a big, big announcement. We're going to put it right here on the show. No one's been told yet, not even some of the publicists and in the book places, so we're going to start sending that out. But it is great to know that, you know, we've kind of moved into that next realm of our magazine because it has been extremely popular. I think that that's a good thing that, you know, it's going to now be available. So we're going to have a lot more, you know, people on, a lot more interviews, a lot bigger, you know, audience. And I do know that when you're speaking of bigger audience, our two authors now, Star Raina and Terry Armstrong, I'm going to bring them on, and they are going to talk about, you know, their trials and tribulations of writing. So let's start off with both of them. Terry, how are you doing, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. I'd like to congratulate Suspense Magazine for being out there in print. I think that's fabulous.
Well, thank you. And let's welcome Star Raina. Star, how are you doing? You there? You still there?
Oh, I'm here.
Ah,
hi, John.
There.
Hi, Matt.
Hello.
Good to be here.
Well,
thanks for having me.
Well, let's start off with a couple questions. Let's go to Terry here first. And Terry, your new is called Morning Menace,
yes.
And it was Suspense Publishing has put it out there for ebook. Now, we know that you wrote this about a year ago, and the success was kind of hard in finding a print publisher to put it out there. So what convinced you to go with Suspense Publishing and put your book out on ebook?
Well, I think first and foremost, every author wants to see their name out there. I don't know anybody that doesn't want to see their name on the internet that says new book by so-and-so, because it's exciting. And I think that I know that I've been able to see and read ebooks a lot lately. And as you said, it seems to be the wave of the future almost. And so
correct.
I wanted to jump on that. If that's what's gonna happen, then I want to be there, because I can't imagine if all the people out there, and you know there's great authors that haven't been discovered yet. We know that. We've read them. But if there was room for everybody, the bookstores would be as big as malls.
Right.
You know, if there was a place for everybody. So I think that that's really great. And that instant,
you know, it's funny when you mention malls, there's not even any bookstores in malls anymore.
Isn't that
you can't even
huh?
go, you can't even go to the malls and bookstores. You can't even go to the malls and buy a CD anymore. They've really, you're going to the mall now to buy Auntie Annie, Cinnabon, and clothes, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's true. At my mall, you can't even get Cinnabon, so hey.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you live over there in little town of Massachusetts, there's not a lot of stuff to buy, so.
That's true. That's very true. But I just think that this is such an age of instant gratification. I want it now. I need it now. Because everybody's life is so fast-paced. And I just think that things like the Amazon Kindle and the Sony Reader and whatnot, or your computer, you download them and you can read them whenever you have the time. And your house isn't filled with books, stacks and stacks of books that you'll probably never get to.
Right.
So I think it's really a great idea.
So, Star, I mean, are you kind of on the same thing? I mean, is that kind of what your thinking was when you had? But you also had two books published in Suspense Thriller. This is Terry's first Suspense Thriller book, I might add. She did have a couple others that were not in this fiction genre. But you had Cruel Past and Cruel Whisper, correct?
Yes, that's correct. They're young adult novels.
Okay. And so now you kind of went with your book is In the Name of Revenge, and you kind of went the e-publishing way. Is that kind of your same story that you had with Terry?
Well, yes, in part. Another part, I think, is not only do I, of course, would love to see my name in print, but more importantly to me is if I can bring something to the reader that they truly enjoy reading, that's my accomplishment. And if it's easier to get it out there on ebook, then I'm all for that. I echo someone's sentiment that mentioned the economy, that you know publishers are very picky about who they're taking, how many they're taking, what genre they're
right.
taking, etc. And this is another avenue for authors to pursue, and I applaud those who go ahead and try it. I think you have nothing to lose by doing so, and it can bring your written word, you know, to readers who just love to get into stories.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel the exact same way. You know, Matt, what do you what do you think about, you know, talking, you know, I mean, about the e-publishing and the thing on how they did it. I mean, is that the right way you think that they should go?
I think anyone who's starting out should do it that way. I mean, it's not very often that you submit your manuscript to, you know, whoever, Random House, and they come back with the multi-million-dollar deal. You've got to get yourself out there, and this is an easy way to market yourself and you know, and help sell it yourself, too. I mean, with the help of self-publishing and getting marketing help, that's great, but some people don't want to do that, and ebooks can, you know, it's, you can get it out there if you've got a network of friends, Facebook, it all, that MySpace, that too. So there's no reason why someone shouldn't do that.
So Terry, so let's go back, Morning Menace.
Yes.
What's it about?
Because
let's ask the age-old question where everybody wants to hear. What was your inspiration in writing this book?
Actually, the truth be known, it was Star. I have to tell you.
Star was the inspiration.
It's a true story. She actually sort of, I don't know if inspiration is the word, she sort of pushed me to believe that I could do it, because my first love was poetry. It always was. And I think it always will be. And I see more and more now that I'm reading more and more authors, their bios and stuff, that their first love was poetry. That's where they started. And then I went into a couple of self-helps, and then I star saw a contest for Suspense Magazine for their short story contest. And she said, you need to do this. It has to just have a mystery to it or suspense, something. And I said, I can't do that. I don't write that. She said, you can do anything. You can write anything. You don't have to stay stuck in one genre. You pick something that you like. Try it. The worst you can do is not win.
Right.
See what you like. And so she talked me into trying it. Of course, I sent like 5 stories. I didn't win, but really, I did win because I learned something about myself.
Right.
I learned to try new things, and I learned that I can, in fact, write mystery. And
well,
now it happens to be my love. I love it.
Okay.
So it's all because of Star that I got to where I am.
Oh, well, thank you, Terry.
It's true. It's very true. Everywhere.
Hey, I'm just glad to help.
It was wonderful.
Well, hey, guys, isn't it also important for writers to constantly write? So short stories help with that. And, of course, to read other people's stories. So if you're
Absolutely.
Not haven't been writing mystery, maybe you read a few, you practice it, and then it becomes a little more a part of who you are, it sounds like.
I think that, yes, Matt, you're correct in part, but I don't think it's a matter of reading a few. I think you need to read quite a few, actually, and study them. How is this author differ from another author? You need to find out how they're doing it and then kind of go from there and practice finding your own voice.
So Terry, so tell us a little, tell us a little bit about what is Morning Menace? What's
okay.
it about?
All right. I'll sum it up in a little paragraph. How's that? Take an erotic woman.
That's good because we only got 35 minutes. Okay.
Okay. With an attention to detail and throw her in the middle of a murder investigation on a farm, and you get more than a little bit of horseplay. Starling Maddox, she's thrust, unbeknownst to anybody in the family, into the lives of the Grayson family as they try to figure out who's stealing their farm supplies and killing their horses. Add to the mix feuding brothers, family honor, and a very rich horse breeder from Texas, and nothing is as it seems.
So you got a little bit of mystery, it sounds like, in there, along with a little bit of suspense thriller. I'm sure you get a couple murders going on in there, some people dying and stuff like that. So is it a scary book? Is it one for not for the faint of heart to like not read at night with the lights off or what?
Okay, I have to make a confession. I'm a faint
okay,
of heart.
Confession. Okay, now you got to remember this. You got to keep it clean. This is a good show.
Oh,
so.
I know.
Okay.
I am a faint of heart. I cannot read like something really, really scary because honest to God, it will give me nightmares. And so I don't go that far. However, I think I might try to write it someday. Just because Star taught me you never close a door. Never.
Right.
And so, of course, eventually I'll read them. I have to if I want to know how to write them. Because to be a good writer, you have to be a good reader. You have to be. So, but this is not, it's not anything scary or creepy. It's just sort of, it's a good old-fashioned whodunit. That's it. And it's a lot of fun. And it has, actually, it's the beginning of a trilogy.
Ah, good scene. You see how I segue? Yeah, like, good segue into that, because I was going to ask you before, because I wanted to, So you have a trilogy going on. Are they all written? Are you writing them now?
They're all written. I am finishing touches on editing, of course. But the second one is Medieval Menace. And the third one is Maternal Menace. And I will give you nothing on them until the time comes.
That was his next question, I'm sure. But
just more mystery,
Keeping it close to the vest.
Okay, that's all right, because this is Suspense Radio, and I haven't given you everything yet either, so you
just have to wait on that one.
You give me a little mystery, I'll give you a little suspense. We'll meet somewhere in the middle and see where it ends up.
That works.
So. Now, Star, In the Name of Revenge, why don't you tell us a little bit about, your book and exactly what it is?
It's in the crime mystery genre. It actually is the first, it's where I started the Ivanovich series. Pavel Ivanovich witnesses his parents' execution. He wants nothing more than to extract revenge. from, you know, for the killing of his parents. He goes to work for a crime boss, and with the aid of a few others, he ultimately does get his the big payoff and his revenge, although not in the way he originally expects it. So I don't want to tell too much, because if I do, it'll completely ruin the ending of the book. So, but
okay.
It has a lot of action, very action-packed book.
And
what,
you will
Matt?
Never see it coming.
Everyone listening out there, go out and buy it. Know what happens.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely go out and buy it. I mean, that's the only way you're going to know the ending, it sounds like, from these two ladies. They ain't going to give you nothing.
No, it's not your typical crime book. It's just not. It's completely different from what you've ever read in a crime drama genre.
So, now you said, so this is another, this is a series for you on this character.
Yes.
Okay.
The second book with in the Ivanovich series is called Deadly Decisions. And again, I don't want to release too much information on it, but obviously, as you can probably tell, Pavel Ivanovich goes on in that book as one of the main characters, and brings along with him a few from the first, and a lot of anecdotes, lots of comedy is introduced, but intense investigations as well as crime and mystery.
Another, here we go, more mystery. Just like a woman. I think women write the best mystery, because I know Agatha Christie's one, since they are so mysterious, maybe women write the best mysteries.
I believe that.
Classic writer, so they
well, of course you believe it, because you're a woman, but that's okay.
that's
I think you do, too, or you wouldn't have mentioned it.
That's a whole nother radio show,
that's
which
right.
I'm sure someone else already
show,
did. So, okay, now, so you guys are friends. You guys know each other for a while, and you guys decided mm-hmm. to do something that's a little different. Who wants to kind of tell the people what you guys are doing that's a little different?
I'll start it out.
Oh.
I'm going to leave it for Star.
I'll tell you what, I'll start it, and you can pick up, because we do that well.
Okay.
We have decided to do a collaboration, and not very many out there have been done. Actually, to be honest, I don't think I've read any personally. Not to say that it's not been done. We have decided to take a few characters from her trilogy, Terry Ann's trilogy, and combining them with a few of the characters of my series. We're putting them together and in an odd way, I guess you could say. Terry, what do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Would you say odd?
Odd work for me.
An odd way. An odd way, but a very interesting way,
I think
to say the least.
Does, honestly, what this does is not only does it make us better writers, because I'm sure Star will agree, we have gone up so many notches just doing this together. Because not only do you play off one another, you have to collaborate, you have to agree. We have had more than our share of arguments over what was going to happen, but we always work it out. And it makes for a better book,
yes.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely.
And the other thing that it does is it brings out who our characters really are at the core of their soul, who they are, and you get to see it, and you feel it. You almost smell them. It's so intense. And it's fantastic. I think it's been going very, very well, and I can't wait to see how it ends, because we have no idea.
We're not even sure yet.
That's right.
Okay, so Morning Menace and In the Name of Revenge, are there any correlations right now together? Will the reader, if they read both of those books, get a better sense, of course, of collaboration, because I'm sure that your characters
yeah.
in both those books are in there. But is there any crossover? Are we going to see one of Terry's characters in Star books just like, you know, passing by on the street saying hi or whatever, or vice versa? So then when they pick up the collaboration, they'll kind of know what that is? Or how did you write that in there?
They get involved in one another's lives, almost intimately.
Yes.
Now, but in the collaboration book or in your separate
yes.
ones?
Oh, in the collaboration.
Right.
However, I believe, Star, we spoke about perhaps Starlene being in one of your books.
Yes.
Yes, so we have talked about that.
So now the collaboration will be sort of after the series has run its course, So Terry has her trilogy. Is it going to be, like, as far as the timeline, is it going to be set after that trilogy is over,
no,
or is it going to be in the middle of it and kind of ongoing?
Actually, I believe that the way it's being done is that any reader can pick it up during any part of her trilogy or my series and understand what's going on.
Exactly.
They get a view of the character, I should say characters, combining worlds.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because we put in that background of each one of them, like things from each of our books will also go in the collaboration so that if you didn't read the series, you could pick up this book and it's like a brand new book all by itself.
It's a standalone.
As if one person wrote it.
Now, Matt, have you heard about this? Have you heard about anybody doing any of this? Because I haven't really heard. I know that some authors have, you know, like Peter Straub and Stephen King and Preston and Child, they kind of wrote, but I don't remember two authors taking two of their characters and putting them together, kind of like, you know, like in our SmackDown. All of a sudden, James Patterson and Child put Cross and Reacher in a book together and they go out and do something. I don't think I've heard anything.
The only thing that just reminds me of maybe like Mrs. Garrett going from Different Strokes back and forth.
The family size.
That's
about it. Oh, great analogy.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
Jefferson going from the Jeffersons to All in the Family. Or
yeah, there you go.
Vice versa, yeah.
That's funny. That's
you guys
funny,
could
man.
Start a new trend here. It's great.
We're
enjoying it.
You know, like the spinoff. But yeah, I don't think anybody's ever done that or thought of doing that. Maybe just because the authors like to hold their characters, you know, so close to them, they would rather not put them against, or they never thought it would work. But I, you know, I'm sure, you know, we're excited to see how it would play out.
It's unique. It's unique in the way that each of us, Terry and I, actually have to go into the minds of the other's character. I have to understand Terry's characters that's, you know, we're collaborating together, and she has to understand mine to a certain degree in order for them to be able to mesh. And I think that while Terry and I are working together on this, we are starting to understand each other's characters, and we're bringing them to life together.
Yeah.
Now,
it's very
so here's
unique. Very, very unique.
Go ahead, Matt. Were you going to say something?
No.
Oh, okay. So I guess when you guys were talking about, you know, there might be some arguments in between, I guess, is it the arguments of, you know, well, I think my character should do this or my character should do this? Is that kind of the tough thing to get together?
No, like the other day, and it wasn't really an argument. It was a discussion. I thought one of her.
Yeah, that's what I tell my wife all the time, and it's an argument.
It really was a discussion.
Okay, I say it's a discussion because I don't want to get in trouble and say that I lost an argument. So if it's a discussion, I can't lose. If it's an argument, I always lose. So
yeah,
I know what that's
a man thing to say.
You better hope that she's not listening to this because you're going to be in trouble.
Well, you know, again, and then we'll have a discussion about it.
Of course. But see, I think what happens.
Because we're not going to argue over it.
That's a whole other show. I think that what happens is the discussion, whatever you want to call it, because we're both so passionate about what we do, and we both love our characters. I think that when you're a writer, you have to love your characters, good, bad, or indifferent, whatever they are. You have to love them, because if you don't, you can't write for them, and they will not, and I know this sounds crazy, but they won't speak to you, because literally the characters will talk to you and say, I would say this, but the other day we had a discussion about something that one of her characters may or may not say. I thought because of the scene and what was happening that he would say something a certain way. And it's not in his character, but because the scene is so far out of something that the two people that were involved had ever been mixed up in, I thought that he would speak a certain way. And she really has to think about it because he is her character, and I cannot and will not dictate to her what her character is feeling. You can't do that. That's her character. She gave birth to that character. She's raised that character. She's nurtured that character. That's up to her.
We'd have to have a discussion if you did.
Exactly.
Right. We'd
exactly.
have to have a discussion.
A loud discussion. But we're all passionate.
So that prompts me to a question then. When you guys are writing, because I think when you're reading some of these collaborations between these authors, you can kind of see who wrote what chapter. Now, can you pick that out when you guys do that, or when you're doing dialogue, And let's say you're having a conversation back and forth in the book, is Terry the dialogue for her, person, or how they would interact with other people and what they would say? I mean, because it sounds like that would be very difficult to do.
Go ahead, Star, you take this one.
Well, I think if I'm understanding your question here, is you're wanting to know if each other writes the other's dialogue, the character's
dialogue?
Well,
I mean, do you guys write, okay, like Star, you're saying, okay, I'm going to write chapter one, Terry, I'm going to write chapter two, chapter three, and therefore you have to be that voice of the other person's character, or is it a total collaboration where you're like, okay, we're going to sit down and do chapter one, here's the idea, here's the way my character is going to do it, here's the way, and then they come in and say, well, this is the way my character is going to do it, and then you have to kind of point them to an ending.
We kind of outlined it in the beginning, to kind of to see where we wanted this book to go, how the characters mesh together. You know, in the beginning we had a lot of discussions of that. What ends up happening is not really do I write one chapter and she writes another. We may start that way and, okay, I'm going to go ahead and take this chapter. We then take that chapter and we discuss it. Okay, I don't like this part. Why don't you like this part? And we go from there. So it's kind of really each of Terry and I are in every chapter, really in every paragraph.
Okay.
It doesn't matter whose character is speaking or whose character is in the scene. Both Terry and I are present, I believe, in entire book.
You can't
what
tell
about
where
the
she
ending?
Starts
you guys,
and I end.
You guys agree on that?
We don't even know what that is.
Yeah, we don't. You have to understand, when we started this, I was in California at the time with Star, and we were in her office, and she has this big dry erase board on her wall. You had to see us. It was like the stuff that comedies are made of. She's got this big dry erase marker, and I'm sitting at her desk, and we are so excited, so pumped over this idea, which, by the way, I would like to point out is Star's idea, so if it doesn't work, blame her.
Oh, thank you.
Oh!
But I'm taking all of the glory if it does.
I was just going to say, so if it does work, then she gets more royalties than you do.
I guess that's how
I'd say about 90-10 there.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
We'll have to have another discussion about that.
Okay.
It's so funny because she had her eraser in one hand, her marker in the other, and I'm sitting at her desk, and I'm practically jumping out of my skin. She's back and forth running from the desk to talk to me, to the paper, or to the wall, and we are so excited because we get all this stuff mapped out, and she writes this whole outline, and she emails it to me, and I don't think we followed anything in that outline because
No.
We just sort of, the characters just took over instantly.
Exactly.
So we really don't know what's happening.
Yeah, the characters took on the story and developed it the way they thought they wanted to see it play out.
So now we have to keep our chapters straight because they have turned us in so many directions. If we don't keep the chapter straight, we don't know what we're doing. And that's absolutely
characters, you're bringing in more than just the each main's characters. You're bringing in maybe a couple supporting from each book
absolutely.
Or no?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yep.
It's fun. It's fun.
I was going to say, it sounds like fun.
Oh, it is. And I
it's
think
fun.
That everyone is going to love it. I really do. I think that this is Star's, to date, it's our best work. As individual authors, it's our best work. Because I just think that we sort of feed each other's passion for this work. You have to love that. You have
uh-huh.
to, writing isn't what you do, it's who you are. And
well, when are we going to see it?
I don't know. Whenever
Suspense Publishing wants to know.
When they start when they stop talking to us, it'll be done.
Whoa.
That's all I can tell you.
Did you guys hear that? Did you guys hear that? Or is that just my speakers that kind of did that? Because I kind of heard like an alien come on here like, you're not going to know nothing. I couldn't hear it. Okay. So repeat that. So when are we going to know? When is it going to be done?
We're hoping to have, well, our hopeful goal was a first draft out by September. That may or may not happen, but that's what we're striving for.
Yeah,
okay.
We're really, really trying. We push every day.
And since you guys are having so much fun, are you going to do it again, or is this just a one-time shot?
We did.
It depends on
that.
It depends on the characters, how well it goes over. If there is an opportunity at the end of the book, at the conclusion, to put forth another with combined characters, then absolutely.
If the readers want it, we'll definitely visit that because we have talked about it. that has been in her mind. So it's, let's put it this way, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Correct.
We don't know.
And you're saying the readers do not had not had to have picked up each of your standalones in order to read this one to understand the characters?
No, correct.
Okay, because there's no tie-in from the ends of the books in order to this one, I guess. It's just a totally separate thing.
Not a tie-in, really. What we did was, which was a great idea of Stars, and I'm so glad that she pointed it out to me. See, this is the great thing about collaborating with someone that's written mystery before.
Uh-huh.
This Morning Menace was my first one, is you have to bring in some of the background from the other books. Give background so that the people that read it, if they pick it up as a standalone book, they get the characters. And they don't have to have read the rest of it to know who these characters are.
Right.
So, or where they come from, or their backgrounds, or the things they've gone through. Because we give little pieces all through the book.
Okay.
So their backstory is there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I gotcha. So, yeah, so then I guess, Star, after, how many books do you see your series going in your book, or do you know? I mean, are you going to keep writing your series?
Well, I'm not sure at present. I know that the second is done, Deadly Decisions. The third I am working on. It depends, I guess, on a lot of variables, one being how well it's received by readers, how well these characters continue on, or if I just decide that's it, they're all dead.
Great. Well,
I guess that'll
do it.
You know, yeah, I could kill them. Of course, the readers may be very upset, but, you know, it can happen.
Well, you could be like a soap opera and bring them back.
Yeah, you know, of course. So I don't know. And one thing I'm pretty sure of is I'm not so certain I'd be going on like Janet Ivanovich.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I'm going to get up to 15 or 20 or whatever it is she's at now, even though she has a great concept going there, I think. No, I'm not going to push it that far.
I gotcha. So I just have Terry, how about you? What are you going to be doing? What do you think you're going to do?
I have a few things in the works. I have a couple of dramas written. I actually got my foot in the door at Lifetime Television once, not too long ago. But it didn't go anywhere because the branch office, I should say, closed after like 30 years. But they did read my book. It's called I'll Remember.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the drama that will be coming out soon on ebook.
Okay.
And it was going to be, I actually was asked to write the script for it. And then they were going to consider optioning it. But it didn't get past the first phase because the office closed. So that was sort of, we're done with that. But I was so honored that someone at Lifetime Magazine Lifetime Television got to see my work. To me, that was amazing. And for me, that was enough to show me that I had more talent than I allowed myself to believe. So I also have a children's book that will be coming out. Another
you're kind of all over there. You're kind of hitting a lot of different genres,
absolutely,
aren't you?
Absolutely. I don't think that you should box yourself in unless it's what you like. If that's all that you like to write, then you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. But I really like to try my hand at everything. I always have. And the children's book was actually my mother's brainchild. She called me one day and said, I have an idea, a genie and a spirit. She said, the genie knows everything about magic. The spirit knows everything about feelings. Write a book. That's what she said to me. And so, like, 3 hours later, I called her and I said, I have 6 chapters. You want to hear it? I have no idea where it came from. It just was there. And it's wonderful.
Came out.
Yep, just came out.
That's interesting.
So
Matt, what do you got? You got any questions, anything we're going to go on here, or should we kind of move it over to the next kind of segment? What do you want to do?
Yeah, I think we're kind of getting towards the end of the show here. We've got to have our smackdown with Alex Cross versus Jack Reacher. And, of course, we just want to emphasize to everybody to go out and purchase these e-books, Morning Menace and In the Name of Revenge. And I can't wait for that collaboration. That's what I'm excited about.
Yeah. Yeah.
We might
so...
give you a preview if you're good.
Uh-oh. Might get a preview. You know what, Matt? Remember, they're women and we're men, and they're just going to tease us, so I wouldn't even count on the collaboration. Seeing it early. I don't think we're going to see it early. Yeah. I know. I'm far away, and it's nice weather, and you guys don't have nice weather, so you can be jealous, and that's fine.
Nice weather.
Yeah, I know. Humidity's not nice weather. Humidity's bad.
I have sunshine.
Right. I have sunshine, too, except except the sunshine's not like it's in my living room like it is. So let's do it. So let's do the suspense smackdown here, and let's pit it. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna have who's better, or who do you think is better, James Cross's character Alex Cross, or James Patterson's character Alex Cross, or Lee Child's character Jack Reacher. Both of them are. You know, we got one of a detective. We got one that's, kind of a bad, kind of James Bondish, badass kind of guy. And
Reacher is also a detective. He was military police, they're actually both detectives. And Alex Cross has one advantage in that he's had a couple movies made, so some people might not know Jack Reacher, but they'll associate Morgan Freeman with him. So I think I'm kind of handicapped already going in here.
Let's see here. So let's go. So Terry,
yeah,
who do you pick? Jack Reacher.
I pick Alex Cross because he can't die.
All right.
He's invincible.
Okay. Hold on. Star, Alex Cross, Jack Reacher.
Morgan Freeman, Jack Reacher.
So you're picking who?
Jack Reacher.
Matt, Alex Cross, Jack Reacher.
It's an obvious Jack Reacher.
And
he also can't die.
Well, I'm going to go with Alex Cross, and I'm going to tell you why here real fast. I'm going to go with Alex Cross just because I think that the earlier work of Alex Cross and forgetting what Morgan Freeman, because Along Came a Spider was an absolute atrocious movie. It had really nothing. They kind of put two books together, and it was bad. But I believe that Alex Cross is one of those characters that will kind of stand alone for quite a long time, like a James Bond. And I think, without like an Alex Cross or somebody like that, I don't know if Jack Reacher would have been as successful as he is now. So you guys can chime in and think what you want to say on that one.
I just think Patterson is the better writer. Not that I don't like Childs. I do. I just think that Alex Cross is a stronger character. That's it.
I think I'm more in like with the idea of the Reacher, do-good, drifter guy, but, come on, how long can the guy really be a drifter for? It's time to settle down somewhere, but there's definitely more depth to Patterson, to Alex Cross. I have to agree with that.
Well, I think there's more mystery there. You know what I'm saying? A lone wolf is much more mysterious than a guy that you know everything about.
Well, who are you saying the lone wolf is? Alex Cross?
Yeah. I would say that he's more mysterious, I think he's more mysterious.
Well, I think that... Go ahead, Star.
I was just going to say that I think Reacher has more depth as a character.
And why?
Because, in a lot of the sections, he, for one, does not like confronting an opponent armed with knives. He is scornful of fundamentalists. He has more just background, more depth to him.
If he doesn't want to confront a person with a knife, does that make him a wuss?
No. I'm saying he has more depth to his character. There's more to him than meets the eye.
I'm just yanking your chain. That's all. No, because I like Lee Child. He's very good. I've read James Patterson a lot more. I like him. I think that he's very good. The only thing I would ever change is his chapters would be longer. That's the only thing I'd ever change. But that's it. I think he writes very well, very well. So that's my take on it.
I see. So, but that's the thing, because I think Morgan Freeman might have killed a little bit of the Alex Cross persona in the movies, kind of the same way that some other you know, people have done, because whenever people read books, they kind of, you know, you always put somebody in your head, okay? Like whenever I'm reading Dan Brown, I just read, you know, The Lost Symbol, and I see Robert Langdon. Every time he talked, all I saw was Tom Hanks. I don't want to see Tom Hanks in my mind when I'm reading a book, but that's what happens. And I think that when you start reading the Alex Crossman board, you have Morgan Freeman's, you know, voice in your mind when you see him talk. And I think that that kind of hurts. So I disagree with, I think having a movie actually hurts the character in the book more than Jack Reacher by not having a movie, because, you know, Terry, you said that he was, now I'm going to back up Matt on this one, and I can't believe I'm doing that. But you're going to say that I think that Reacher is actually a more mysterious character because he's not been brought out of the book and onto a screen, where Alex Cross has been brought on the screen. So I think his mystery has died off tremendously by doing that. And I wish that they would, you know, either collaborate with the author more on who should play what or not.
Yeah,
but
I have insider sources that they are getting much closer to this Reacher movie. First one, the first movie is going to be One Shot, which was based on an old army buddy who was accused of being a sniper and killing someone in a small town. So that's going to be the first movie. Now, who plays him? That's always going to be up for debate, and I hope they don't mess it up, but.
All right, well, you're the Reacher fan, Star and Matt. Who should play him? Who do you think should play Jack Reacher to not kill the persona of Jack Reacher in the books?
Boy, that's a toughie.
Hugh Jackman, just because he's actually a little bit taller than most actors.
Uh-huh.
Right, Reacher's very tall.
I would have said maybe a long time ago Dolph Lundgren would have been a great Reacher, we're a little past that.
So, yeah, I must. Yeah, it's a little too past. I must break you. You know, with Rocky.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or he will die, or if he dies, he dies.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I mean, that's interesting. I mean, that would be an interesting guy to play Reacher.
That's why I'm not a big fan of watching a movie when you're a fan of the book, because it always ruins it. It never measures up to the book, ever.
Well, see, now that's another discussion that I don't agree with. I don't think that the movie kills the book, but gives it a different spin on the book, like everything has been done. I mean, no matter what it is, I mean, the author wrote it a certain way, sure, but you can't include everything from the book into the movie, because then you'd have eight-hour movies, and, you know, I haven't seen Avatar because I can't sit through three-hour movies. I'm sorry, I can't do it. That's just way too long for me. And so I like to, if I'm going to see it, I like to get it in, get it out, under 2 hours, boom, done. Even though I did see Inception, it was a little longer. But so I don't know if I agree with that. Hey,
I'll disagree with you real quick, though, because if you remember The Firm by John Grisham, they totally changed the ending. So interpretation and changing an ending are two different things.
Exactly.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
And I guess that's how I misspoke. It is true. They take The Horse Whisperer used to be my favorite book. I loved it. And then I saw the movie, and I was never so disappointed at an ending of a book because it was so totally different. I mean, the end of a movie because it was so totally different than the book. And that turns me off of doing something like that.
Okay, then here's the question. What's the point of going to the movie if you've already read the book? You know how it's going to end. Wasn't it better that you had a different ending? Because you're like, wow, I didn't see that coming, and it was actually a better ending than how it was in the book.
No, I think because, for me at least, when you read a book, your imagination takes over. It's more than just the words on the paper. You're seeing what the author wants you to see. And you're smelling what the author wants you to smell. You're hearing what the author wants you to hear. So when you...
Right.
Get your own imagination in there with all of those words, it becomes much more colorful and more real and more loud than any movie could ever be. So when you get to the ending of a book...
But actually, however, if you're watching a movie based on that character, if the movie is done well, it can actually bring to life the character a little bit more, too.
But you know what? If is a little word, and it casts a very big shadow.
It's hard to do it.
Now we're getting deep. Look at this.
Oh,
55
wow.
55 minutes in, and now we're deep. If is a little word that carries a lot of character.
No,
not
casts a very big
Where
shadow.
Did that one come from?
And it does. It's true.
Stars like, how come, Stars like, where's that creativity in our book?
Hey, bring that depth along with you next time we have one of our discussions.
Let me tell you what.
That's why I'm 90 and you're 10.
I can't count the number of times she said to me, Terry, that is so good. And by the way, I came up with the title, and she was so thrilled. I thought she was going to whack herself. She was so happy. So
nice.
Don't tell me that I only did 10%. Did you just vomit, John?
No, I did not. No,
I think I heard that.
Yes,
I did. I heard that.
I heard it, too.
No, I did not. Actually, I just cleared my throat.
Oh, is that what you did?
That's
okay.
All I did. Okay, so... Yeah, so that was good. I mean, I guess we're kind of figuring out. I mean, I don't know if it's kind of a tie. Alex Cross, Jack Reacher. I guess if we're looking straight character, straight from the book, you know, it's difficult. First of all, I don't think you can go wrong with either one of them, and I think they're two totally different characters.
I agree.
It's hard to compare them.
Yeah.
Right, and I don't know if compare is a good word. More along the lines of which one, if you had to take a James Cross book or a Jack Reacher, you know, Lee Child Jack Reacher book on a desert island with, and you can only had room for one, who are you bringing with you? Who's going to entertain you more when, you know, on those trips? Is it going to be James Patterson or is it going to be, you know, Lee Child?
I guess if you're going to be on a deserted island for any length of time, it wouldn't matter because eventually you're going to get sick of reading the same book.
Well, that's true too. Okay, maybe not a deserted island. Maybe just like a week vacation someplace.
Oh, okay.
Are you
going to
pick more?
Is the author going to be present though? That's what I want to know. Is this author going to be present on the deserted island? Because that will make a difference.
That's right. We can
Wi-Fi on the deserted island. You can just download ebooks all the time.
Well, that's true. I guess that's coming, isn't it? You can just you can get Wi-Fi if you're on a desert island like once every once a day when the cruise ship passes, you can just tap into it. And then there it goes and then your Wi-Fi is gone, so you get it for like 2 hours.
That's right.
So
And you know, there's no reality, it's only perception. It's only what you perceive.
That depth again
is the best.
That's true.
No, I can't take credit for that. That's Dr. Phil's line, but it's true. There really is no reality because what you look as what's the truth. You're choosing Patterson over Child. That's your truth. But it's not a reality because somebody else's is going to be totally switched. That's their truth. That's their reality.
It's just a matter of opinion.
Exactly. Well, it's all a matter of opinion.
Well, I'm going to have to say that we're going to have to wrap this, but I am going to say thank you so much, Star and Terry, for joining us. Okay. I'm going to encourage everyone to go out and get Terry Ann Armstrong's Morning Menace and Star Raina's In the Name of Revenge, now available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Border, in the ebook section, so make sure you check that out. And, guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Matt, I think we did get here on the first episode. We're going to wrap this up, and we're going to tell everyone, you know, suspensemagazine.com, that's the publisher, the one doing it, and let's end it with Suspense Publishing. And
Let's let everyone know who is coming up on Tuesday at 6 o'clock.
That's right. Tuesday, 6 o'clock. We are going to have Scott Nicholson, and we are going to have Shane Granke coming on, and they are going to be letting us know what they've been up to. Scott's been writing an article for Suspense Magazine, and Shane is a author that's had a couple books out, and he's going to discuss that. And that's Tuesday night, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, and whatever other time zone you're in, you know, you can figure that out right here. Radio/Suspense Magazine. So, Matt, until Tuesday, let's leave with this.